Now, before I pass on my message to you, I'd like to express my appreciation for all your kindness and hospitality that I've enjoyed these past 2 weeks. I'm sure thankful to the Lord that He ordered my footsteps here to York, Pennsylvania. But our final meeting is always one of deep emotion, and the impact always seems to be stronger the last evening than in the previous nights because of mixed emotions. We're thankful to God for what has been done. Some have professed Christ in those meetings, and our hearts have been cheered as we've listened to the story of redeeming love. But then we're somewhat concerned about those who have not responded to the gospel. But our prayers will follow such, and we trust that those who have come to these meetings, that before long, they will fall in with God's offer of salvation before it be too late. Now for our final reading, shall we turn, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. The 38th chapter, 3:8. And verse 1. 38 and 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and saith unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse 12. Mine appointment is departed, and there is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. I reckon to morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From death even to night will thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward, O Lord. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading from his precious word. My subject tonight is one of the most unsavory, one of the most unpalatable of all subjects. There are 1,001 subjects I would rather handle tonight than the subject of death. But this afternoon, God has been speaking, and He has somewhat convinced my exercise, and this is what the subject has to be. Death. In this section of God's Word, first of all, I would like to talk to you about the appointment. Then secondly, the application. Thirdly, the appraisal. Fourthly, the appeal. And finally, the answer. The appointment, death. God says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. God says it is better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay to heart. Friend, you and I have an appointment with death. reason for that appointment is S-I-N, sin. Paul says, by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That is the cause of this monster death. Sin that entered into this world through the engineering of Satan and using Adam as his tool. And there's no escape. There are many appointments that we would like to break and can break in this life. There's always one appointment that makes me shudder, and that is an appointment with a dentist. And we can either accept it or break it. But here is one appointment that we shall never escape. You cannot break the appointment with death. And the character of it, we've seen the cause, sin. The character of death, we have the stamp of reality surrounding us every day. The first man, Adam, was placed in a garden. And the last man mentioned in the book of Genesis, we find him in a coffin. Joseph. And every day, you and I, somehow, some way, are reminded of this monster death. And we have an appointment with it. The cause of sin, the character of it, the stamp of reality seen around us every day. And then there is a call. Let me recall in your hearing something I mentioned the other night of a sundial over in England. And on that sundial are written these words, and this is the call of death. Tender teens, teachable 20s, thrilling 30s, fiery 40s, forceful 50s, serious 60s, solemn 70s, aching 80s, death, the sod, God. Now that must embrace every age group, I am sure, in our gathering tonight. I was having daily vacation Bible school in my home assembly a few years ago. Little lad sitting on the front row, his name was John Lovejoy. Sick looking little lad, obviously not well nourished. Came from a very poor home. And when a particular meeting was over, he came up to me and he says, Uncle Neil, how come I do not get a candy bar? I was giving out candy bars to those that gave the right answer. Uncle Neil, how come I don't get a candy bar? Well, I said, John, because the reason is this, those who can answer the questions get a candy bar. But my heart went out to this white little face fellow. I took him in the corner and I slipped him a candy bar. The next day, John and his friend, who was sitting with him, were playing around the housing project. And there was a bulldozer going back and forward. And boy-like, they ran up this mound of loom, and the bulldozer covered them over, and they both died. When I looked into that white little coffin of that lad about 6 or 7 years of age, I was thankful to God I gave him a candy bar. God says in his word, that death is no respecter of persons. The very youngest in our gathering, as well as the oldest, could meet that monster death tonight. There is the appointment. God speaks, it is appointed unto men once to die. Now there is the application. The prophet here gives us a sixfold illustration, an application of this thing called death. First of all, we find in verse 12 that it is just like the shepherd's tent. Now, I spent 2.5 years in the land of Israel, in the Middle East, during World War II. And one thing significant of the shepherd's tent is this, that it's here today and it is gone tomorrow. As the flocks move on in the luscious pasture, the shepherd folds up his tent and he travels on. Now, friend, that's exactly the first picture given to us by the prophet of death. We are here today, and we might be gone tomorrow. 3 years ago, I was in Europe. An awful tragedy outside Grenoble in France. Some teenagers were dancing away in the small hours of the morning to some rock and roll group, when suddenly someone carelessly dropped a cigarette and the whole place was enveloped in flames. And 144 teenagers were gone. Not too long ago, a tidal wave developed in the Indian Ocean, the Bay of Bengal, rather, and it came up north, and it traveled. Finally, it went ashore in East Pakistan, and 500,000 people perished in one tidal wave. Here today, gone tomorrow. In our own country, a few days ago, tornadoes swept through the Midwest. And over 300 people who expected to be here tonight are gone. One man said it was like a giant train coming through the town, few seconds, and devastation. Gone. Had you talked to these dear folks a week ago and spoke about death, they would say you were crazy. Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what one day will bring forth. Here today, gone tomorrow. Death, the second illustration by the prophet, he refers to it as a web of cloth, or the thrum, as the margin presents. Now the thrum, my friend, is that part that joins the bale of cloth to the loom. And once the bale of cloth, the design, and the bale is complete, the weaver takes his scissors and he cuts the thrum. That's the illustration. Of no further use, and the thrum is cut. There was a man in the Bible, he spoke about the future. Oh, God was so kind to him. Great productivity in his fields. And he said to himself, well, this is great. I will pull down these barns, build greater. I will say to my soul, soul, there was much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Have a good time. God says, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And he cut the thread. He was gone. In medieval times, a jester was employed by this monarch to entertain him. And the monarch was so overwhelmed with the ability of his jester that he gave him a little scepter with one stipulation, that if he found someone who was a greater fool than himself, he would relinquish his title and give up the scepter. The monarch is seriously ill. He calls the jester by his bedside, and he said to him, calling him by name, I'm going away from here. I am about to die. I'm going on a long journey, but I do not know where I am going. The jester said, sire, do I hear aright? You are going on a long journey, and you don't know where you are going. Yes, he said, that is right. He excused himself, went back to his little room, and he brought the scepter, and he brought it back, and he placed it on the lap of the monarch. He said, sire, I have found a greater fool than myself. Because when I leave this world, I know where I'm going. Friend, you and I have an appointment with death. And God tonight could cut us off. Just like the thrum from the loom. The third illustration by the prophet is from day to night. Now, out in the east, there are no twilights. The moment that golden ball goes over the hill, over the horizon, it becomes sudden night. No twilight. From day to night. I worked for a boss for 15 years. As his construction superintendent, he made over $1 million. I never knew him in 15 years to enjoy one vacation. One day he said, well, Neil, I'm going to finish up the contracts and I'm going to enjoy my money. 60 years of age, he spoke about the golden years. A few weeks afterwards, he was gone. Never lived to enjoy his money. And people today talk about social security, old age security. You might never make it. From day to night, gone. People talk about travel when they retire from life. You might never make it. God says, now is the accepted time, now is God's day of salvation. And he continues with the application, and he says that death is just like a lion that gets a hold of its prey and utterly destroys its prey. Friend, death is a monster, and it has no mercy on his Abe. Abraham Lincoln one day visiting the battlefield. He saw boys 16 years of age mortally wounded. And he got down on his knees beside the boy. And he said to the lad's son, "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes, Mr. President, would you write to my mother in Vermont and tell her what has happened?" And Honest Abe began to weep. And he said, "Son, is there anything else I can do for you?" He said, "Mr. President, would you hold my hand to the end?" And as that boy went out of time into eternity, Abraham Lincoln fell over the boy and he wept tears of bitterness. Death. No mercy. D.L. Moody was traveling down the Tennessee River after the Battle of Shiloh. Again, a teenager on the deck of that ship, and it was obvious his end was near. D.L. Moody took some brandy and wiped the lips of the boy, and he recovered momentarily. And he looked into the face of the great evangelist, the boy, and he said, "Would you kindly write to my mother and tell her I'm coming home?" D.L. Moody said, "Son, you'll never make it. Your wounds are too severe." "Well," said the boy, "would you write to my mother and tell her that I've gone home to be with Jesus?" And Moody went. Teenager, with life ahead, vitality, exuberance. But because of the awfulness of war, death. Breaks like the lion, the mastery over its prey. And there's no mercy with death. I stood one day with Brother Rieger around a lonely grave in Albany, New York. There were two of us. And there was the widow dressed in black. Two undertakers. That was all the people at that graveside. And there was the body draped in the stars and stripes. And a widowed lady weeping bitterly. And I discovered the reason for the tears. She was a Christian. Her husband was never born again. 20 degrees below zero, there we stood. And we wept with the widow. No mercy. And it is recorded here, the fifth illustration, death is just like the swallow. As I mentioned this morning, the swallow is the bird that moves on schedule. Always on time. And friend, death is always on time. You cannot put off the appointment one day if the day is designated. Death moves on schedule. It is appointed unto man once to die. And the swallow comes just as a visitor. a brief visitation, and then he's gone. Death is like the shepherd's tent. It is like the throne. Day to night, as a lion, as a swallow. And you cannot alter the schedule. One day, a king, a wicked king, he violated the laws of God, and God wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tico, euphason." Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, and that night, King Belshazzar was gone. And finally, in verse 14, the sixth application is that of a mourning dove. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. Death comes in like a flood, and hearts break in the home circle, in the family circle. And we feel the wretch as loved ones are snatched away because of this monster death. The appointment, the application. But then, as he continues, he gives us the appraisal of death. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. People think, especially young folks, that they've got years ahead. My daughter is a nurse. She works in the operating room. One day she came home and she got out of the car and I saw she was weeping. I said, "Janina, what's your problem?" She says, "Dad, they brought a boy into the hospital today. The best high school athlete that ever came into any school in Massachusetts. All-star in basketball, baseball, and football. Tremendous athlete." And she said, "I was talking to him today, and he says, I can't get out of this hospital quick enough till I get a bat in my hand." She says, "Dad, he's only got 6 months to live. Cancer of the bone. He's a lad with a tremendous future. And because of SIN and the outcome, he's only got 6 months to live. Because you're a teenager in this gathering tonight, don't think of years ahead when this might be your last gospel meeting." And the appraisal is, "For the grave cannot praise thee." In other words, friend, those that go down to the pit, there's no welcome. He mentioned they that go down into the pit. Now, I'm going to be as kind, God help me tonight, to be as loving and kind as possible. But if you should die tonight, you have two destinations. Either the pit or the palace of the king. Now you have to make up your mind as to where you will spend eternity. Those that go down into the pit, there's no welcome. And there's no joy. The man in Luke chapter 16, he appealed to Father Abraham, "Warn my brethren. Please don't bring them down into this place, oh God, please help." And I've had teenagers tell me, and adults, "Well, if I go to hell, I will have lots of company." Friend, God's word tells me that a person that goes down to the pit will be in total isolation in a flame for all eternity. There'll be no ball games. There'll be no television. There'll be no amusement. There'll be no pleasure. He says, "I am tormented in this flame." Have you ever been lonely? I've been very, very lonely in my time. Being in isolation in World War II, away from Christian, away from loved ones, months and months at a time, and I felt lonely. And sometimes in the work of the Lord, spite of the kindness of God's people that's unsurpassed, we have moments of loneliness. But what will it be like to be alone for all eternity? I am tormented in this flame. I'll be honest, friend. It almost would drive me out of my mind even right now to think of a person being isolated in a flame, their body tempered to the fire for all eternity. But there it is, right in God's word. Could you stand being separated from your wife or your husband for 5 years? Young folks, could you be happy about being isolated from your mom and dad for 3 months? But here it's isolation forever. No welcome. No joy. The rich man says, "Father Abraham, oh, that Lazarus would take his finger and dip it in water and cool my tongue." No relief. I sat beside a dear brother in Christ for several weeks around Christmas time when he was dying. Dying with cancer, his lips were completely worn away with this awful, awful disease. And the last words he uttered was, "Give me water, water, water." And he passed into the Lord's presence to slake his thirst at that pure river of joy in the land of fadeless day. What will it be like, friend, for eternal years? No relief, no joy. And observe, they that go down to the pit, there's no hope. Once you have sealed your doom, once you have rejected Christ, and death comes in and you're not saved, then after that there's no hope. That's what it says. This is not something that I have devised. That's what it says right here. "If ye die in your sins," says the Lord Jesus, "thither I go, ye cannot come." And there's no hope. Because there's no Christ. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. It's too late. The man who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is in heaven. And where Jesus is, is heaven there. And Israel said to a little boy, suppose you've made a mistake and you discover that you didn't reach heaven but that you went down to that awful place, hell. The little lad said, sir, you've made a vital mistake. Where Jesus is, there's heaven there. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never be, or his truth ever permeate, the atmosphere of hell. Darkness, desolation, depression, for eternal years. So it's either the pit. But friends, that's the wonderful thing about the gospel. It's a balanced message. It's possible tonight for you to know that you are going to the palace, not the pit. The palace of the king. And we have the guarantee in the word of God. Dear friend of mine in the north of Ireland, Sam Jardine, outstanding preacher, man of God. He sent me a letter one day and he said, my brother has been promoted to glory. He didn't say he was dead or had passed away. My brother has been promoted to glory in the palace of the king. Moody, when he was dying, he said, earth recedes, heaven opens. This is my paradise. This is my coronation. This is wonderful. Christmas Evans, the great Welsh evangelist, said, heaven is ahead, press on, drive on. Oh, friend, I thank God that it's possible tonight for you to know that you are going to the palace and not the pit. I was having meetings in Waterloo, Ontario, some time ago. And I spoke on the Lord's coming, and particularly the last night on heaven. The blessings of the land, Emmanuel's land. A man had come down every night 70 miles to those meetings. He was a Swiss called Hans Recksteiner. Dear Hans, the last night was the last man to leave the building. Oh, he says, Brother Dougal, what a prospect that one day we're going to be at home with the Lord and see his face. He said, I kind of wish he would come right now. That afternoon, I got a phone call. Hans was passing over the railroad track in the morning. Train came down, struck his car, and he was gone. He didn't realize that night, neither did I, that he would be in the Lord's presence before 24 hours. Those of us who are sheltered under the blood, who are born again Christians, we know that if death, this monster, overtakes us tonight, we shall awake with his likeness.